Word together, let's join in prayer. Our Father in heaven, as we now draw near to this time when we read and hear your word proclaimed, we pray that all of our hearts may be moldable, that you may impress upon us the truth that you will have us to remember, and you will change our hearts and lives so that we will continue to trust in you, that we will look after the little ones that have been placed in the care of this, your fold, and that we may trust all of these things, all of our little ones and all of our lives, to you, our good shepherd. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 18. Lord willing, the next couple months are going to be having a series on the parables. So we'll begin that this evening. Matthew chapter 18, we'll be reading verses, we'll start our reading at verse 7, but our text will actually be 10 through 14. So starting our reading at verse 7 of Matthew 18. Woe to the world for temptations to sin. For it is necessary that temptations come, but woe to the one by whom the temptation comes. And if your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands and two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into the hell fire. And now our text. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Thus far the reading of God's word. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the church has been given a very, very dear gift. A gift that is very close to the heart of our Father in heaven. The church has been given the gift of little ones. And that gift must not be overlooked or downplayed. To ignore a blessing like this would be a great tragedy and would bring about God's severe wrath. In this very passage, we receive a warning. Now, normally when we receive warnings, if the warning is like, drive carefully or watch out for certain different things, it usually doesn't catch our attention. But if we see something which is very specifically addressed to you, we draw much more closer attention. Perhaps this earlier this evening you heard that there's a thunderstorm warning or watch in this area. That perks up your ears. Hey, that concerns me. That's something I need to know about. And in this text, Jesus Christ specifically warns the New Testament church, warns you. A warning comes to you. Our Father in heaven protects his little ones. In our text for today, we will consider the sheep of this parable and the shepherd of this parable. Our Father in heaven protects his little ones. Now, whenever we read a parable, we must consider the parallel versions or the other places that this parable comes up. This parable is also found in Luke 15. The parable in Luke 15 is one that draws attention to God's intense love and dedication to finding all the lost ones, all the ones that have strayed, and bringing them back into the fold. Luke focuses on finding the lost, the ones that are outside of the fold, and bringing them into the fold. Now, Matthew's emphasis, what we read today, is a little different than Luke. Luke focuses on seeking those outside of the church. But Matthew focuses on returning the little ones that have strayed from the church. As a whole, the book of Matthew tends to focus on the gospel coming to who? Coming to the Jews, coming to Israel, those who are in the external covenant, who have been called children of Abraham, yet are straying from the fold. And this emphasis continues in the parable today. And in this parable, we see the heart of God. We are told how to relate to each other. Earlier in this chapter, Jesus draws our attention to the need for believers to become like children, to embrace faith like a child. Humbling ourselves like children is the mark of a child of God. Jesus' emphasis on his love for children continues in verse 5, where accepting a child in his name is like receiving Jesus himself. And in our text, Jesus tells a parable that explains the father's concern for his little ones. Read with me verse 10. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. See that you do not despise. Take heed. Watch out. This is a warning to you. This is a warning to the church. Watch out. This has direct consequence to how you act to brothers and sisters. There's a blind spot. There's something which we are prone to do. Watch out. Be careful. This is significant. Pay attention. Red flags should be going up in our mind. Say, this is something I should be paying attention to. He's speaking to us, the New Testament church. Now, who is this little one that Jesus is referring to? Well, the most obvious answer would be the small children that Jesus had brought into their midst in verse 2. Children have always had a special place in the covenant. In the Old Testament, we remember, children received the mark of circumcision, a mark that was to show that they were separate from the world. It was a cutting away of the old part, the old flesh, the sin, separating the part of the flesh. A special care and concern continues in the New Testament, where the whole household would be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Acts 2, the promise of redemption is for who? The promise of redemption is for you and for your children and for all those who are far off. Children have an important part in the church, and they are not to be neglected or overlooked. It is such a tragedy that in our world today, children are mistreated and abused. Whatever we do to the least of these, we have done to him. Child abuse is a scandal in the church and must never, ever take place. These little ones are to be protected, cared for in the church. The fact that these precious little ones are taken advantage of, or worse, sexually abused in the church is a great condemnation. And it is a great tragedy. Now, baptism is a sign that this child belongs to the church. Children must not be looked as inconveniences. They must be separated from the world, and they must be brought into the very body of Christ. They must not be separated from the church. That's where they belong. Now, some of us may know of churches that have children's church, which is where they actually take children out of the worship service. We have no right to exclude our children from the primary means of grace, the preaching of the word. No one has the right to remove covenant children from the place they will hear the word proclaimed. Now, in our circles, we may not ever have children's church. But how do we overlook our children? Now, ways in which we overlook or we despise our children is when we see them as a hassle. I can't believe I have to bring my child to boys' club again. That shoots another night. I'm so sick of this. Or I'm sick of staying after church, waiting for my child to get out of catechism class. I wish that teacher would speed things up a little bit. I hate sitting out here in the car wasting my whole Sunday. When we think things like this, we are beginning to see our children as hindering what we want to do and not seeing them as a blessing from God and a gift that needs to be cherished. It is our duty and our privilege to educate and lead our little ones. Now, this parable gives us a good example of exactly how much God loves these little ones. Verse 12, what do we see? What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountain and go in search of the one that went astray? Leaving 99 sheep to look for one? Whenever we see something like that in parables, something which seems strange or odd, there's a reason. It's to draw our attention to this. What a powerful picture this provides us. Remember that in this parable, leaving the 99 is not the focus. So don't start worrying, well, Jesus is forsaking 99 sheep and they're going to get lost and eaten. No, that is not the point. That's not what he is trying to say. The 99 are safe. Don't worry about them. The focus is on the one that had strayed, and his intense love, the intense love of this shepherd to leave the 99 and go and look for one that had gone away. The shepherd puts his own life in danger and goes and searches for this one little one. Now, some of us may be accountants. Losing one out of 99, it's not bad. You still had 99%. Students, you get one question wrong out of 99. Oh, well, 99% is still an A, so I don't really care. But that's not the point here. The point is that not even one will be overlooked. He will leave the 99 to go and look for this one. 1%. Small, insignificant, right? No, it is important to our God and Father. What comfort this must give to us as parents. Do you have a child that is straying from the fold? Do you have a little one that seems to reject everything of God and His words? Have faith, dear friends. The Good Shepherd loves this one straying one so much that He's going to go out and search for him. And He will not stop searching until He has found that one that went astray. And He has brought this dear little one back into the fold. But children, this is also a warning to you. It is not a license for you to live wild and worldly lives when you are young. That would be exactly like the sheep found in Ezekiel 34. What happens in Ezekiel 34? These sheep would go out and trample underfoot the grass, and they would muddy up the water. They would pollute everything. They would despise the things of God and ignore His call. Children, you must not reject good teaching. To reject God and His word is willful wandering from the truth. God's word is the green grass that gives life to your soul. Do not decline the call to faith extended by our Good Shepherd. Do not willingly go astray. I plead with you, children. Do not forsake the things of God. This is also a great temptation to those in our fellowship who have gone off to college. Perhaps some of you here tonight. When young adults take their first steps into the world, when they are separated from parental supervision, far too many college students use this time of new freedom and responsibility to excuse themselves from God and His people, to overlook the church and forsake the means of grace. This must not be. College is the time when you set patterns that you will follow the rest of your life. Do not allow yourself to go astray. When we read astray in this world, this passage, this parable, it's not like, oh, this sheep is just wandering off a little bit, like he sees a little green grass, he'll go over here, munch on it, come back. No, that's not what is happening. The word for astray is much more than simple wandering. It's to be deceived, to be led down wrong paths. And it's the very same word that we find the very last word in verse 14. Perish. When you lead yourself, when you let yourself go astray, you are allowing yourself to perish, to be lost or to be destroyed. To separate yourself from God is to place yourself in the path of the wolf or the lion, who continues, I will remind you, to stroll around looking for little ones in which he will devour. Do not let this be your outcome. Listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd. Repent, for today is the day of salvation. Now, small children are not the only ones who this parable is speaking about. It's not the only sheep that we can find. Little ones would be anyone who is fragile or weak, anyone who could be taken advantage of. That would mean weak members of the congregation, perhaps new to the faith or harassed by others, inexperienced in their faith. These are also little ones that need to be protected and defended by the Son and the Son's representatives. For Matthew, a little one is a struggling Christian who is brought back to the fold. Church discipline has as its goal the bringing back of that erring one back into the fold. Far too often, young believers, young members are turned away from the church because of hypocrisy or plain disregard. We must not allow ourselves to be a stumbling block to others. These little ones are very special to our Lord. In verse 10 and verse 13, we see that these little ones are held in high regard. These little ones are very dear. Verse 10, I tell you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. These angels guard them continually. Now, it's not like they're talking about guardian angels here. They're talking about the fact that God the Father sees these little ones as important enough to send his messengers down to them, to protect them, to watch over them, to guide them. As Hebrews 1 says, angels are ministering spirits who are sent to serve for the sake of those who will inherit salvation. And it is no small thing to also cause rejoicing in heaven. Verse 14. And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 who never went astray. Are we filled with joy when a straying soul is returned back to the fold? Whenever a straying one is brought back into the fellowship of God, the angels are filled with joy. God is filled with joy. Do we hold them in contempt? Do we say, oh, that person fell into sin, I'm not going to associate with him? Or do we welcome them back into the fold and we say, welcome, believer, back to where you belong. Let me encourage you. Let me strengthen your faith so that you are not led astray again. There is so much joy that God has for these little ones, so much so that he will not allow one of these little ones to perish. Now, this does not mean that every single child born under the covenant is necessarily elect. Look at Israel, for example. Not all of Israel is Israel. Rather, it is a reassuring promise to you parents, to you, the church, and to you, children, that God will not allow any that he has chosen to fall into the devil's hands. The Father will keep his own precious ones safe. John 10, no one, absolutely no one, can snatch out of the Son's hand whom the Father has given to him. That's talking about you. No one can snatch you from the Son. Now, as verse 12 reminds us, this parable was told to the disciples. The leaders of the New Testament church was specifically told not to despise these little ones. Since the disciples were the leaders of the New Testament church, by extension, this warning also comes today to the leaders of the church, specifically those who are called to pastor the church. God is interested in each and every sheep. So must we. Now, pastors of the church would include those who are called to preach and those who are called to elder directly. They are told not to overlook or look down on these little ones, to think less of them because they are small. Remember that these little ones are precious to the Father. Now, being a pastor literally means being a shepherd of the church, one who leads the flock in Christ's way, opening the word and showing this believer where they should go. Earlier in this chapter, what do we find the disciples doing? They're arguing over who is the greatest. Well, there were three disciples up on the mountain when Jesus was transfigured. That ranks pretty high. Well, James and John's mom came and talked to Jesus and tried to get a better place in the kingdom, so that's pretty high. So what does Jesus do? He brings into their fellowship, into their midst, this little one, and he reminds them, when you are doing this, you are overlooking these little ones. To spend time combating with each other, I'm better here. No, I'm a better cook, so I can do this thing better for the church. Well, I'm better at this, then that means I'm better in the church. No, to do that is to overlook these little ones. To spend time arguing with each other over these things is to forsake a calling to overlook these little ones. Ezekiel 34 also gives a stern warning to the leaders of the church, religious leaders who were to look after the flock. The sick were to be medicated, the injured were to be bound up, and the straying ones were to be looked over for. But these religious leaders were not faithful to their task. Instead of leading them in good pastures, the leaders were devouring the sheep and getting fat off their flesh. They were forsaking their calling to be under shepherds, and they stood in line for God's severe wrath and judgment. They were like watchdogs who had fallen asleep on the job. They were useless. Instead of gathering the sheep together, they were scattering them. And in response to this, the Lord says that their day of slaughter was at hand. The Lord would attend to their wicked deeds. There would be no escape for these wicked leaders. This is a stern reminder to those who have been called to be leaders of the church. Remember what Jesus said to Paul. When Paul was Saul persecuting the church, Jesus came to him and he said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting the church?" "No. Why are you persecuting me?" God does not look kindly on those who despise the little ones. So how do you think this truth applies to the work of elders? What about the education programs in this church? How can this church be more faithful to its calling to guard and protect the little ones? One of the most difficult times that elders have is when students go off to college. It seems like out of sight, out of mind. Do we as a church body continue to remember those who have gone apart from us? Do we lift them up in our prayers? Do we continually plead and place them in the care and comfort of our good shepherd? Ezekiel 34 also tells us that the Lord will be sure to bring back anyone who stumbles. God will search for them and bring them back. The way in which the Father guarantees that all of the elect will be found is found in Ezekiel 34, verse 23. The Father will set up one shepherd, the Son of David, who will feed his sheep. What a blessed prophecy. The Son is the one who feeds the sheep, and he feeds the sheep with his word. These are the green pastures spoken of in Psalm 23, leading the sheep in the Word. Life is only secured through Jesus Christ. John 10, Jesus is the good shepherd, the one who lays down his life for the sheep. No one takes his life. He lays it down freely for the sake of the sheep. Everyone who comes to the fold through him, through the gate, is a faithful shepherd. If anyone comes to the flock and does not enter through Christ, is a robber and seeks to lead the sheep astray. Congregation, remember that. If anyone comes to you, and they come to you in any other name than the name of Jesus Christ, they are a robber, and they seek to lead you astray. The task of being an elder or a pastor is one that is rightly done only in the name of Christ Jesus. To come to the fold in any other name is to be a wolf in sheep's clothing. What a powerful reminder of how elders and pastors must carry out their task of looking after these little ones. It's a job only done in the name of Christ and through Christ. Some of you here today may have been elders in the past. Some may be elders right now, and some may one day be elders in the church. See that you do not despise these little ones. When you visit the little ones, remember your task. Come to them in the name of Jesus Christ. You are Christ's representative. Bring the words of Jesus to them. Administer medicine to them. Bind up their injuries and lead them in faithful paths. Tell them about the good shepherd and what that shepherd has done. Now, this task of looking after the little ones is not just one that the elders do, but it is a job given to all the members of the church. God rejoices over each and every sheep, and so must we. There is no member here who does not have a responsibility for the upbuilding and care of these little ones. If you are newly married without children, if you are single, if you are retired, you all share in the task of caring for these little ones. It's not a job that just belongs to the parents. You all share in this task, and you must lift up each other. So do we care for the little ones of this church like we should? Think for a moment about the members of this church, those here and those who may not be here this evening. Think about them. Can you think of anyone who you look down upon? Who you despise. This is the little one that Jesus comes to us today and says, behold, do not despise them. They are precious in my sight. Do we seek out those who are straying? Do we plead with those who stray? Or do we, when children grow up, do we allow them their time of rebellion? Do we attribute sin and tyranny to being a child, perhaps being a teenager or a terrible two, something that they'll outgrow of in time? Or do we see these things as sin, as willfully straying from the fold? God's will is that none of these be lost. That gives us believers, that gives you divine permission and authority to seek the lost little ones. It is not the will of my Father in heaven that any of these should perish. Our Father in heaven protects his little ones. He cherishes them. To protect these fragile believers is something he enjoys. He delights in. Our Father also employs leaders of the church and the whole church as a body to seek after those who stray. The task of returning one of these straying ones to the fold can only be accomplished in the name of Jesus Christ, and by his power. Let us remember what Christ came for, to seek and save the lost. So brothers and sisters, do not despise these little ones. And if you are a little one, do not despise God's word. Do not despise the little ones. But let us trust in the Lord to keep these little ones in the fold. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your work as our good shepherd. We thank you that you delight in every single one of these members here, and that it is not your will that one of these little ones should perish. So may we trust in you, and may we look to you, and may we, by your power, be used by you to bring back those who are straying, to bring your words to them, to tell them of our Good Shepherd and what this Good Shepherd has done. May we all trust in you as our Lord and Redeemer, and may we all look to you to shepherd our hearts. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to sing.